Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting from the 1568 perfectly good hours wasted department here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, you know, I know it seems like we just started annoying you yesterday, but this month we're actually celebrating 30 years of Car Talk and NPR, and yes, I do use the term celebrating loosely. This month, we're revisiting some of our best laughs over the years, and we'll start today with one of my brother's favorite stories. And we're broadcasting this week from the Brotherly Love Department here at Car Talk Plaza. What's this about? I don't trust you.
And you shouldn't.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell a little story.
Okay.
As most people know, we've had an absolutely terrible winter here in our fair city.
Yes.
I mean, we've complained about it enough. It was long, it was cold, it was snowy, and it was endless, relentless, every day.
Oh, yeah, no.
Stinko.
It certainly was.
So we get really sick of it. And the entire staff of Car Talk planned a trip to South Beach for a few days.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
We were all looking forward to the sun. We were going to just go down, sit on the beach, you know, chill out, so to speak, in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So the day before we're due to leave, my poor brother Raymond takes ill.
I was at death's door.
At death's door. He's confined to his bed, and his doctor says he can't go to South Beach. Dougie says to me, well, I guess the trip is off, huh? Your brother, poor guy, I mean, he's deathly ill. And I answer in the immortal words of Don Ameche, if you saw the movie Trading Places, screw him.
Those weren't exactly the words, but close enough.
Close enough. So we all go. I mean, everybody, the entire Car Talk staff, including my brother's own son, Andrew, who says the same thing. I said, but your father, he's at death's door. Screw him. So my brother says, I understand you guys have to go, but I have one request.
Well, I said, I was choking back the tears at the time.
No, I could see that.
Yeah.
But you were choking back the tears.
I mean, leave me here alone.
Leave me here alone. But I guess he was trying to be brave. And he says, just do me one favor. Think of me while you're there. Think of me in my sick bed watching it snow, rain, sleet outside while I'm looking out through my convalescing window.
Yes.
So on the way to the airport, we forgot all about him. Didn't even know who he was. Your brother. Who's got a brother? Oh, my brother, yeah. Anyway, we get to South Beach. We're sitting in the sun. We're drinking pina coladas. We're living it up like Wayne Newton. I mean, life is good. After a couple of days, we realize that we really hadn't thought of my brother at all. We were too busy watching the beautiful girls walk by. So we went to our favorite spot, the News Cafe. The News Cafe is the place.
I mean, oh, yeah, that's our...
As you well know.
Yeah.
And we say, we have to do something so that my brother knows that we were thinking of him while we're here.
Yeah.
And after many hours of contemplation, it may have taken us all day. I mean, I remember sitting there with Bugsy thinking about this all day.
And you could sit all day with
Bugsy. One cappuccino after another.
Plotting and scheming.
The idea finally hits us. Here is a way that Raymond will know that his buddies were actually thinking of him while we're living it up in South Beach. Because, I mean, just to tell him we were thinking about him wouldn't prove that we were thinking about him. So I have here in my pocket a little something that will absolutely prove to you that we were thinking of you. I mean, we sat there for days eating, drinking, and running up this tab.
This is a credit card receipt from the News Cafe with my signature on it. I don't know how that is. It says Frank Rizzo. And it is for an oh, you guys were very generous with the tip. I see.
Well, this is
since when do you give a 45% tip?
Don't forget there were a lot of us. And
this doesn't make any difference.
The waiters had been
45%.
They had been very, very good to us. You know, they saved us our table.
So you got this credit card from my son. My son was in on this.
Here's what happened, actually.
I don't think I want to know.
Your son and a friend of his, Noah, came.
And
at the end of this grueling 3 or 4 days during which we were trying to think of a way to think of you, to prove to you that we were thinking of you, we were having dinner at the news cafe, but the place was mobbed.
This is your writing, too. This is my brother's writing. I recognize your hand. Me own brother.
I'll tell you what happened. When Drew and Noah showed up, we had already been seated for quite some time, and they had to take a separate little table for two. So when everything was over, the bills came, and I said to Drew, give us the bill. Drew, we'll pay for it. He says, I already paid for it, for ours, him and Noah.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean you already paid for it? He said, I have my father's credit card. And we almost fell off the chairs. You have your father's credit card? Get out. I said, Drew, let me just borrow it for a while. He says, oh, no, it's my father. Okay, here.
My brother and my son. Jeez, I guess
45% isn't bad.
There's a lesson to be learned here. Don't get sick. Stay healthy. Jeez. Well, I'm glad you all had a good time.
Well, we had a rollicking good time, and we're having a good time right now, too.
And I'm still paying off that credit card bill. Now, while my brother and I would always try to cause trouble for each other, the real purpose of the show is to solve problems for other people. And granted, we didn't always know exactly how to go about it.
Hello, this is Maureen. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Maureen. What's up?
I've got a 1964 Volkswagen Bug that I have an unholy attachment to. It's my first car. It went on fire about a week ago, and my concern is, how could I avoid this happening again?
Sell it! You back up a few feet, and it won't come out of reverse.
That's right.
Unless you shut the engine off.
No, see, Thomas doesn't understand what I'm trying to do here.
I have
no answer for this problem. I am trying to get Peter to alter the question through a very intricate process of mind control. And if I can get him to change the question.
You've got the answer. That's very good.
You've undermined my efforts, obviously.
I apologize. So what color is this?
Hi, this is Steve in Chicago, formerly of East Arlington, Massachusetts.
We can tell by your accent, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So what's up, Steve, and how did you get to Chicago? And do you like it there? And why did you leave Arlington?
Oh, man.
All those questions. Come on.
You never actually want to get to... So is this like a special 3 or 4 hour show?
Yeah, they're all the same.
Yeah.
I got to Chicago... for a career and a girl. I lost the girl and I've given up on the career. So I'll come home now. Hey, the caller that I feel the most for was that whatever that 18-year-old girl or something who was totally depressed.
What, you want us to give her your number?
You made me spit my coffee all over the table.
Buy the proper fluid, which is power steering fluid.
You don't think I could do this?
I think you could, sure.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give it a try.
I think
right.
You should.
Okay, now where should I stick it?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're not going to be able to do it if you don't know where to put this stuff.
When you open the hood, there will be a little reservoir with a cap on it that says power steering. You unscrew that cap, and that's where you pour the stuff.
Okay, I do have one other tiny little problem. How do I open the hood?
And that's why you should have downshifted, and that's why it's recommended on.
All right, he knows that. You don't have to berate the guy.
Everyone
he even
else.
Told you I didn't downshift.
I'm telling
you. He
everyone.
Knows he should have downshifted.
Geez.
Cut the guy some slack. His car is on fire here.
When you turn the car on and put on either the vent with the air or the AC, it's like urine air. It's horrible. And I need you to help
So you
me.
Think they had like a peeing contest in the car? Go ahead. You first. No. You first. Ma's going to kill us. Sorry. Ma's
She'll
away. She
know.
Won't know.
Dad
one...
likes it. Dad won't care.
Dad can't smell anything. It always happens at the same RPM.
Because it's a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
And what it is.
It's saying, Tim, I can sympathize with you.
We're sorry you had to move to Cincinnati. If you would like to call us, our number is, as always, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becky, and I'm calling from Northfield, Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Becky!
It sounds like there are geese in the studio, I think.
I have a 97 Geo Prism, and ever since I've gotten it, there's been this weird kind of film that forms on the inside of the windshield.
Yeah.
See, now, if you smoked cigars...
you wouldn't notice this.
Another goose just landed.
Yeah.
So I should start smoking cigars.
If you smoked cigars, you wouldn't notice this, and you would have... Wait a minute, Becky.
We're having a little technical difficulty in the studio. Oh, he's got the remote.
I don't know if you listen every week, Becky, but a few weeks ago we were commenting on how women. All right, already. How women don't engage in practical jokes to the extent that men do.
Okay.
And we were then flooded with a bunch of practical joke items, one of which I'm holding in my hand, and this is a remote fart machine.
Hi, this is Heidi from D.C.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi.
Hi.
Heidi, 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 ho. What's up?
Well, I have a Peugeot station wagon, 505. I know.
Well, try to start it. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, huh?
All right. He's got one hell of a battery, doesn't he?
Actually, since I've been diagnosing this problem, I've went through 3 batteries. I'm just going to put a little more gas in the carburetor.
Sure. In fact, while you're at it, pour some on the seats. Pour some on the seats, too.
Sometimes when I turn the windshield wipers on and off, it turns the radio off. And sometimes when I put the blinker on, it turns the car off. And sometimes when I put it in reverse, it turns the car off.
Oh, picky, picky, picky. Come on, you're driving a sled here. What do you expect? 1972.
You're going to move to Alaska.
Well, it just so happens that I grew up across the street from your esteemed senior producer, Doug Berman.
No.
And I used to babysit for him and his sisters when they were kids.
He's saying, oh, it's Faith. The light bulb just went on.
He got it.
How old was he when you babysat?
Oh, 9, 10.
Oh, he must have been a hellion.
I will tell you what he did to get me in trouble once.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I love it.
Well, one night...
Just between you and us, of course.
Yeah, just between you and us. One night, he and his sister decided that it was torture the babysitter night.
Yeah.
So the two of them just decided they were going to break every rule and give me every kind of trouble they could, raise all sorts of hell. And the final straw was when I was trying to get them into bed, and they decided to run out of the house half naked and scream all around the neighborhood.
He still does that!
Hi, this is Kathy from Oakland, California.
Oh, Kathy with a C.
You're right.
Kathy from Washington Crossing, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, so it's Kathy with a K.
No.
Oh, darn.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Phoenix.
From Phoenix, and that's with a K, absolutely.
That's it.
I've never been wrong on the Kathy front here.
Hi, I'm Kathy calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy with a K?
Kathy with a C.
Hello, this is Kathy from Old Lyme, Connecticut.
Hi, Kathy from
Kathy
Old Lyme.
Kathy with a C.
No.
Hi, this is Kathy from Montevallo, Alabama.
Alabama?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's no question then in my mind.
What is it?
It starts with a C.
No, it's a K.
Where'd you move from?
Philadelphia.
Ah, see that?
You're right.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Centerville, Virginia.
Don't tell me now.
Okay.
Because I've already made my decision. Okay. What do you think?
I already wrote it with a K.
So did I.
You're both wrong.
Oh, I knew I should have swapped.
Well, maybe we'll get the
Monty Hall would have made me swap.
You know, for most of the last 30 years, it was just me and my brother sitting here in this small studio, mostly trying to break wind for an hour. But every once in a while, we'd have a guest. And a couple of times on Mother's Day, we were graced by the presence of our revered mother, the late Elizabeth Magliozzi. And she offered her unique take on parenting and demonstrated pretty unequivocally, I think, where our sense of broadcast professionalism came from.
Happy Mother's Day, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay.
Are you a mother?
Yes, I have 2 children. I have a boy who's 8 and a little girl who's 10.
Oh, you have a long way to go, sweetheart.
Oh.
Jeez, it sounds like it's some kind of a prison sentence. I mean, where's the joyousness? You have a long way to go, sweetheart. Maybe if you're lucky, they'll run away and join the circus. Come on, Lizzie. Bright, lighten up. Was it that bad?
You have children, Linda?
No.
No, Linda doesn't have children.
Fortunately.
Yeah, Linda's lucky.
Did you really say fortunately?
She did.
I did.
She did, sure.
Well, you know, in this day and age, that's a good answer. With all the drugs.
Has a sense of humor like you do.
I think we just lost Thomas. Linda, get up to putty up those doors. You'll be all right. Don't have kids. Thanks for your call, Linda.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You all right?
Well, although you should be showering your mother with affection, you are instead listening to NPR's Car Talk with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Known to their mother, that's me, as Tom and Ray Magliazzi. We have more of your calls coming right up, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your lipstick will fall
Not
off.
Not lipstick! Dipstick!
Dipstick! That was a misprint.
My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a going to pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpuscles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson. I took a little drink and I'm a feeling right. I can fly right over everything, everything in sight. There's a slow poking cat, I'm gonna pass him on the right. Transfusion, I'm a real gone pale face, and that's no illusion. I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again. Pass the claret to me, Barrett. A rolling down the mountain on a rainy day. Oh, when you see me coming, better start to pray. I'm a cutting up the road and I'm the boss all the way.
And even though jurors everywhere beg to be sequestered whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Road & Track, the magazine car enthusiasts have loved for decades. Now, when you subscribe to Road & Track, you'll receive 6 supersized issues a year, access to digital content, and invites to join Road & Track and Car & Driver editors at annual testing events around the U.S. Sign up today and receive a signature Road & Track baseball hat for free. Hop on in by visiting roadandtrack.com/NPR. Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from TracFone Wireless, offering unlimited talk and text smartphone plans for as low as $20 a month with no contract. And with unlimited carryover data, you can keep what you don't use. All these benefits for a phone on America's largest and most dependable networks. Get high-quality smartphones at a great price. Learn more at TracFone.com. That's TracFone.com. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and this month we're celebrating 30 years of lousy car advice here at NPR. Now, this is the point in the show when I would normally give the puzzler answer, and my brother would doze off. Unfortunately for me, not enough of you listeners dozed off during the puzzler, and I got caught a few times with my abacus down around my knees.
And with that... $5 gift certificate, he can get an embroidered Car Talk baseball cap.
Did we really get a whole wheelbarrow full?
We did. Would this be an appropriate time to read some mail that I got regarding puzzlers? Could I do that? I have a piece of mail here that you're going to love, man. Here's an email. Remember the puzzler about the mango tree?
Yeah.
You said quite convincingly.
There's no other solution.
That there's no other solution except two.
Infinite.
Edward Holmes, I think it's Sherlock.
I think I said I had no other solution.
In fact, what you said was...
You can't do it unless the number is 2. Oh.
That's what you said. You can't do it. Edward Holmes says, au contraire, piston puss.
I was afraid of that.
The briber of the guards would have to leave the palace with exactly 130 mangoes to get back out of the 7 fences He goes away with three mangoes, and the entry guard gets one. If he could carry 386, he could go home with five.
Mm. My analysis only went up to 120.
And then you got tired. Now, what did he say again? Let me hear that again.
You can't do it unless the number is two.
Boy, it sounds so... what does it sound so...
convincing.
Ethereal. Yeah.
Well, this little note was actually slipped to me before the show.
Really?
By an unnamed member of the staff.
Soon to be unemployed, I might add.
Unless the number is two.
Two. All right.
Okay, that's it.
With that little admonition, I guess we'll have a new puzzler in the third half of today's show, so be sure to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is...
Come on, what's the matter? You can't take a joke.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. 130. I should have figured that one out, huh? All right. Hello. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
You know, we had another unfortunate puzzler moment when I thought I was doing the right thing. I mean, I used a puzzler, which I attributed and credited to the legendary puzzler editor of Scientific American, Martin Gardner. And I noted he was unlikely to sue us because he was dead. Then we got this call the following week.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there, this is Jim from Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman!
Norman from Jim, Oklahoma.
That is correct.
What's up, man?
Well, you know, I was going to call in with a car problem, but I really have a car talk problem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah, I know. And I listen on KGOU, the University of Oklahoma station, and last week you introduced the puzzler, and I guess it was a Martin Gardner puzzler, and you... You said, I think, last week that he was a dad and he couldn't sue, and I was kind of a bit taken back and literally shocked. I am a big fan and admirer of Martin Gardner, and I thought I would have known before you guys. So,
see that?
Well, I called my dad because he's fairly up on this information, and after we talked for a while, I was thankfully 100% convinced that he was still alive.
Who's your dad?
Well, my dad's Martin Gardner, you dummy.
I was about to say that I think we received an email from his son.
That's right.
That would be you, huh?
I can say that he is both alive and still in the puzzle business.
I apologize for that faux pas. We are both big fans of your father's mathematical puzzles for many years.
My hero. My hero is Martin Gardner.
Yeah, he's my hero, too.
Well, tell Dad that we're glad he's alive and well.
I've made
this mistake many times in the past. When I discovered that Lawrence Welk had died, it was apparently, in my estimation, for the second time. Okay, look, let's take a break from embarrassing me and embarrass a few listeners instead. A lot of calls over the years involve someone's car making a noise, and we would often ask the caller to make the noise for us. It was purely for diagnostic reasons, of course.
It drops and builds with the RPM.
Right,
so it goes wee.
When I pull in and turn it off, it goes. And then it just fades.
They all do that.
Is there like a cymbal crash at the end? You want to make the noise?
Hold on a second. I'm going to make the noise.
All right.
All right, put the dog out in the yard.
Can you make the noise?
Like a coo, 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 ting, ting. I don't know.
It has gone back to make a noise, kind of a sort of a type of deal.
That's good.
The car makes a sound that kind of goes,
Go, could you do that again?
If you don't get emotionally involved.
No, I won't. I promise I won't. But I'm going to record it this time.
When I turn the steering wheel.
Either way, left or right.
Left or right.
You're sitting stopped.
I'm stopped or going.
Or moving.
Or moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
it makes this noise, and it kind of goes,
yeah, sort of like.
You're interested in selling this car? Sounds like my brother when he wakes up in the morning.
It does what I call the Elvis idol.
Shake, rattle, and roll?
It goes.
I don't shake up.
The best way I can describe it is a scene from a Three Stooges movie where the three of them are sleeping in the same bed. I don't know if you remember that. But Moe goes, and Larry goes, woo, and Curly goes, woo, 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 woo.
Remember it.
You remember that?
We got that picture hanging right on the wall here.
All right. My car is Larry.
Now, lots of calls didn't involve noises, and some even ventured into areas of automotive engineering about which we know absolutely nothing. Of course, that didn't stop us.
Hello, this is Paul from Bartow, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Paul. From where, Pennsylvania?
Bartow.
Bartow.
It's a large rural route about 15 miles south of Allentown, 45 miles northwest of Philadelphia.
Got it.
A lot of loving and gentle people in the rural route.
And you're among them.
Yes, very much.
You sound like a loving and gentle person.
Is it possible that I would have driven through Bartow if I was going to York, Pennsylvania?
You might have, yes. It's, you know, Allentown to Pottstown.
Sort of around there, eh? Right. I think I did drive through Bartow one time.
You may have even bumped into Paul.
I may have.
Could well be.
Could well
be. Are you
be.
About 5'10",
no,
brownish hair?
6 foot even.
Yeah, no, it's a different Paul. Okay. Right. So what's in your mind, Paul?
Well, I know you fellows are experts on cars, but are you as good on trucks and cattle trailers?
Cattle trailers, yes. Trucks, no.
Cattle trailers is one of our specialties.
Okay.
I just finished a seminar, as a matter of fact, on cattle trailers. So I'm right up on...
Right. Cattle trailers you know and love. So we're ready. Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a cattle trailer that holds about 7 or 8 cows, and it has electric brakes, and we pull it with a pickup. And one of the problems, or repeated problems, with the brakes is that... Sometimes they grab, other times they don't connect. We've taken it to the garage several times, and they fix it, but yet they don't fix it.
Yeah.
And these brakes are operated by a servo that's attached to your brake pedal.
Right. It's electric, attached to the brake pedal.
Right.
And the latest problem is when you put on the four-way flashers. The brakes engage every time the light flashes.
Excellent.
And that becomes a real problem when you're going up a hill and have to put on the flashers at 40 miles an hour. It seems to slow you down a good bit when you're climbing the hill.
Okay. Right, because the brakes are grabbing, releasing.
Correct.
I'm sure that we can help you with this if you answer just one small question
for me. Okay, great.
How do electric brakes work?
My impression is that our garage doesn't know either.
Well, I can honestly say, and you know me, I'm an honest guy, I have never seen electric brakes in my life.
I don't know how electric brakes work either in actuality.
But let's guess. That's how we do with the other stuff.
We know that they have to work like regular brakes, and they must push a shoe against a drum of some
kind.
And they're operated by a motor of some kind.
Is the motor like in the wheel?
Yeah.
I mean, it could also operate...
Motor in the trailer or in the truck?
No, in the trailer.
In the trailer.
I don't know how
you
they
figure
work.
They're hydraulic?
No, they're not hydraulic. They're electromechanical.
So what's in the wheel instead of a cylinder? A little electric motor?
A screw.
A screw.
It's irrelevant how they work.
It doesn't matter. Ah, excellent. We're going to give them an answer without knowing how they work.
Right.
Paul, this is going to be good. Get a pencil.
Yeah, I got it.
I can hardly wait to hear
pass
this.
I'll pass it on to our friendly garage.
Well, no, I mean, the key issue here is that the emergency flashers are turning on the brakes.
Correct.
Somehow or another, current is getting fed to those brakes when the flashers are on, so it seems pretty clear that you've got a wire crossed. And
that's funny. I thought you had a wire crossed.
And the other problem, and I think where the problem is, perhaps, is in the brake lights. Because in addition to this thing operating the brakes, it also has to turn on the brake lights, which are turned on by your brake lights. Isn't there a wiring harness that's hanging out from the back of your truck?
Surely.
That you plug into?
Right. That's the way it works.
So the problem's in. He's giving me that look. It's pretty clear that we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I want to say, though, Paul, it's been awfully nice talking to you.
And you sound like a wonderful, caring individual. Why can't these cows walk to their destination? I mean, well, I think it's fair to say we failed miserably at figuring out electric brakes. But the call wasn't a total loss because, unbeknownst to us, we inspired a listener to pen his very own masterpiece. Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss, well, at least we're trying to, cars, car repair, and the answer to an important philosophical question.
You're going to love this.
I'm sure I will.
This is from Andy Reichman from Marlboro, Vermont, 05344. Dear Click and Clack, I'm writing to offer profound thanks to you for resolving an important philosophical question that has been heatedly debated for the last 20 years.
Really?
Get this now. The rumination began on a construction site one summer in the early 70s as my best friend Jamie and I were working our way through college. The question we raised and have agonized over all these many years is one that I have never read about in any philosophical treatise, and yet I have found it has applied to countless situations and conversations, overheard in bars, repair shops, sporting events, political debates, etc., etc. Posit the question. Do two people who don't know what they're talking about know more or less than one person who doesn't know what he's talking about?
Is Let me think about this for a minute. What's your opinion?
I'll get this. I believe that you have definitively answered this query and have put the debate to rest in your recent conversation regarding electric brakes on a cattle carrier. Remember that call?
Oh, I do.
Amazingly enough, you prove that even in a case where one person might know nothing about a subject, it is possible for two people
to know less than nothing. Well, I think we prefaced our answer with the fact that we know nothing.
He says that. He says one person will only go out so far on a limb.
Unless he has someone to egg him on.
His construction of deeply hypothetical structures, and will often end with a shrug or raising of hands to indicate the dismissibility of his particular take on the subject. With two people, the intricacies, the gives and takes, the wherefores and why nots can become a veritable pas de deux of breathtaking speculation. This is a great letter. Interwoven in such a way that apologies or gestures of doubt are rendered unnecessary. I had always suspected this was the case, but no argument I could have built from my years of observation would have so satisfyingly closed the door on the subject as your performance on the cattle carrier call. To begin your comments by saying, we'll answer your question if you tell us how electric brakes work, and we've never heard...
That was a tip-off.
We've never heard of electric brakes. I remember saying that. And then indulge in lengthy theoretical postulations on the whys and wherefores of the caller's problem allowed me to observe that you were finally putting this gnarly question to rest. I am forever indebted to you for the great service you have performed. I'm truly impressed that it took so many years of listening to your show to finally have this matter resolved. Andy Reichman. Boy, this guy had to be an English major at UVM.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they don't... That's good writing, man.
That is a good letter.
See, now, I want the rest of
I want to know how electric brakes do work.
I never heard of electric brakes. I just want to point out that this letter is the paradigm to which all our other listeners should aspire. I've been asking for good mail for weeks now. Andy, boy, oh boy, you are going to be...
And this is the benchmark letter.
This is it. This is the benchmark.
We will rate all letters. We'll give them an Andy 1 to 10.
Ah, okay. We'll rate them on the Andy scale.
Right.
Yeah, like an Emmy, Oscar, and an Andy.
An Andy.
I will save Andy Reichman for Wow.
Yeah, his letter's actually an 8.
Shh.
I mean, there's room for improvement.
There is room for improvement. With two people, the intricacies, the gives and takes, the wherefores and why nots can become
pas de deux.
of breathtaking speculation interwoven in such a way that apologies or gestures of doubt are rendered unnecessary. Woohoo! So two people can know more less than one person.
Oh, yeah. No.
We knew that. If he had just asked us the question, we could have answered that.
Can duct tape, duct tape, oh, where is my duct tape? My whole boat is leaking, my window is cracked, my poor heart is broken. I'll fix it with duct tape, fix it with duct tape until you come back. Duct tape, duct tape, oh, where is my duct tape? My whole boat is leaking, my window is cracked. My poor heart is broken, I'll fix it with duct tape. Fix it with duct tape until you come back. Duct tape, duct tape, oh, where is my duct tape?
I have tried every single color, each variety and every shape. My poor heart is duct tape, I'll fix it with duct tape. Oh, where is my duct tape, oh, where can it be?
Duct tape, duct tape, oh, where is my duct tape? My whole boat is leaking, my window is cracked.
And even though Silvia Poggioli says, porca miseria, ma chi sono questi cafoni, when she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Ready for a new ride but not sure where to start? Try the tool designed to make car shopping and financing easier. With Capital One Auto Navigator, you can find a car and get pre-qualified instantly. Then see your real rate and monthly payment without impacting your credit score. It's so simple, you might feel like you're taking the easy way out. That's because you are. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and 30 years of wasting perfectly good hours here at NPR. And over the years, we found a lot of different ways to make those hours a complete waste. One was to stall for time with a difficult caller by telling a story. Another was for my brother to share news about some incredible discovery. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and France.
France. Now, here's an interesting little snippet. Here's a little snippet.
I'm ready.
Sheila Schultz sent us this.
From France?
Where is she? Where are you from, Sheila? St. Louis. St. Louis. New York. Newsday reported in April that a 46-year-old Worcester, Massachusetts man inexplicably began speaking with a French accent immediately after he was involved in an automobile accident last year.
it must have dislodged.
Wait a minute, there's more. Dr. Mahis Muniz told the annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology that about 24 cases
of spontaneous French occur every year. Come on, snap out of it, will you? You're on National Public Radio. Get a hold of yourself, boy.
It's too good. I can't see anyone.
you can do it. Come on, you started it. You finish it.
24 cases of foreign accent syndrome. I love it. I can't see. Foreign accent syndrome have been reported in this century, caused by a change in the brain circuit involved with motor control that affects the vocal cords. You have foreign accent syndrome ever since you went to France. Can you believe the guy gets hit by a car and all of a sudden he starts to talk like this?
The Yvonne.
What did he do? Jump out of the car and say, "You stupid fool, why did you bump my car?" Foreign accent syndrome.
Great stuff, huh?
Sheila, thank you. That was the best laugh I've had all week. See, I went into the United States Army.
Kicking and screaming.
you know, people don't realize that there are ranks below private. People think that private is nothing.
Right.
I was two ranks below private.
Sub-private.
I mean, because there's an E1, an E2, and then E3 is a private first class. And I was I was a private first class for one day, and I actually went out and bought two of those little stripes and sewed them on my shirt.
Only to have your sergeant rip them off that night.
Sergeant ripped them off the next morning.
Oh, well.
So I can't.
Was it the firing range?
There was an incident. As you might imagine, the Army and I did not get along.
No.
I mean, you would think that the Army would know in a minute that I didn't belong there. Why would they try to encourage a relationship? I mean, the minute they met me, they knew I didn't belong there. Why didn't they just say,
why
don't you just go home and save us all a lot of trouble?
They think they can make a soldier out of anybody.
But it
doesn't... I know why you didn't like it. It's remarkably similar to work. Yeah.
No, it was my mouth that got me in trouble.
I mean, oh, really?
And they didn't like it when I laughed. Because,
no.
I mean, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
When Sergeant McNeely used to walk into that barracks on Saturday at noontime, and he said, "Everybody will go on pass this weekend, except Private Maggie." And I would laugh my butt off, and he was so ticked that I laughed. I was looking forward every week to him saying that. I had this huge barracks to myself for a day and a half.
Oh, boy.
Everybody will go on pass this weekend except Private Maglio.
All right, I've got to tell this story because this was one of the meanest things my brother has ever done to me. Aside from breaking my nose when I was a little
boy.
That
was an accident.
That's what you say. You had that fiendish look on your face.
No, it was an accident. I was trying out my curveball.
No, you're trying, but you told me to put my hands behind my back. And I listened.
You did. You were a dumb little kid.
Many years ago, I took my family on a trip to Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
Back when they still spoke a little bit of English there, but not very much.
Yeah.
And we had spent a couple of days at this wonderful hotel whose name I don't remember. And one night I was sitting in our room and the phone rang. And I picked it up and the voice said, "Monsieur Magliosi?" I said, "Yes. This is Henri, the concierge." I said, "Yes. Did you used to own a late model Ford LTD?" And I said, "Pardon me, used to own, monsieur?"
"There has been an unfortunate accident.
There has been a terrible fire in the garage of the hotel. And your car is burnt to a crisp.
Totally demolished.
Mon Dieu." And as he was explaining this with this beautiful French-English accent, my mind was racing, trying to figure out how I was going to get the family back to Boston without a car.
And the contraband cigars.
And the 500 Cuban cigars that I had bought. Exactly. And it was only after many minutes of my agonizing and asking Henri what I could do, where I could rent a car. And, of course, every question I asked, it was, no, monsieur, that is impossible. We don't rent cars in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. And as I got more and more despondent, finally, Henri began to laugh. And I realized it was my brother. So I just want everyone to know what a mean streak he has in him.
That was, I have to say, I had a rollicking good time.
I did call Dougie once to pretend to be an Internal Revenue agent.
There, I rest my case.
Well, I had a good teacher. Okay, we're almost at the end of the hour. You know, when we were producing this month's 30th anniversary shows, we all got together as a staff and asked for nominations for which call that we should end with. And predictably, everyone had a different suggestion, so we put them all in a hat, and I reached in, and here's the one that came out. 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Richard in Dogtown, California.
Dogtown?
Dogtown, California, yes.
Why is it called Dogtown?
It's kind of an old-fashioned term for a junky area outside of a mining camp or a lumber camp.
No kidding.
Where there were cheap booze and hookers, and it all fell apart when the mine ran.
Are you having a lot of fun?
So what's cooking?
Well, let's see. I raise goats.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know, goats like to jump up on things.
Yes.
Box, and they get up on my car, and they've pretty well trashed it over the last few years. And when friends come to visit, I have to put the hoods up on their cars and the trunk lids up to keep the goats from getting on their cars.
Ah.
So what I want to do is hook up a fence charger to my car and give the goats a small shock so they won't jump up on the car. And I'm wondering if that's going to mess with the car's electrical system in any way.
Yeah, it will mess with the car's electrical system. On modern cars, I think that you would void the warranty.
Well.
Ah!
Well.
Ah!
Wait a minute. I'm working on it.
I think you're inviting disaster.
Yeah, I could do it either with a fence charger that runs on 110 volts or one that runs off 12 volts and then kind of install one permanently in my car.
Yeah, but it's not coursing through. In other words, you want it such that if a goat were to touch any part of the body,
yes,
he'd get a shock.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, see,
that ain't gonna be
I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
Well, how do those things work?
Well, a fence charger has one output wire.
Yeah.
You just hook that terminal to an ungrounded
goat.
Ungrounded goat. I mean, you could put it in the city, you know, and then people look when you park your car, and no one's going to steal it either. But it just attaches to a wire that runs along the top of a fence for miles.
Yeah.
And anybody that touches that gets a light shock and stops touching it.
Oh, so they don't really jump up onto the car. They
usually put their front feet up.
They
first
put their front feet up, and that's when they would get zapped.
Yeah.
Does anyone actually come and visit you?
Not anymore.
Well, fewer and fewer.
He's lonely. That's why. That's why he's trying to do. I'm so lonely.
I mean, can't you put the goats in a pen?
Well, I can, but they run free.
How about you make a pen for the cars? Right, so that the goats can't get
that
in there.
But I like Richard's idea of conditioning the goats. How many goats have you got?
Well, right now, just three. We had 20 of them.
Oh, you could.
I mean, is this goat thing a hobby or what? Is this a business?
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
Is it animal husbandry? No, I mean, here's what I'm thinking. I agree with my brother. You go throwing 110 volts on the body of the car, that's going to raise.
Oh, no, ultimately thousands.
Ultimately, that's
oh,
right.
No.
That's going to raise havoc, as we say.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you couldn't build yourself just a little thing. You know when you walk into the movie theater and they got those little stands there with the little velvety rope that you
know, yeah, I'm sure the goats will observe that.
What you do is you put a few of those around the car and you run the wire around those things. Now the goat, in order to get to the car, they're going to get zapped. And it's not going to take very many days before they associate the car and the zapping. And I think once we condition them, hopefully they'll remember that if a blue car comes in that it's going to be like a red car, and they won't be able to distinguish it. They'll say, oh, no, the other one was red.
We
can jump on this one.
This is Richard's car.
Oh, this is good. That's not Richard's car. That's no good rat.
Shock us, will you? Yeah. Geez, I don't know.
See, that's what I like. But on the other hand, if it's only three goats.
Well, you should see, you can imagine what a goat. Doris's car, which is an old Alfa Romeo with a soft top's got.
Yeah.
Goats get up there, get on the top of her car, and just put their foot right through it. So.
Sure. And Doris doesn't come back anymore, does she? And you're lonely, aren't you?
That's the real reason I want to do this.
Maybe you can meet Doris like Motel 6.
Oh, Richard. No, I mean, I'm thinking, why can't you just like put a collar on them like a dog and just tie them up?
They don't like to be tied up.
No, I want to let them. We've got lots of animals running free around here, and I like it that way.
And you don't mind hitting them with 140,000 volts as much as you love them. It's like shock therapy.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. No.
I think you're doing the right thing.
Well, I think the simplest solution would be a pen that you could drive the car into that the goats wouldn't jump the, you know, fence of.
I was trying to avoid this.
I know, but
he was trying to avoid.
I know, and you're trying.
He's dying to zap him with 120,000 volts. That's what he really wants to do. Hey, Richard, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
But I would try that. I think you can do it if you put something around the car and you just let him get zapped a couple of times. And I mean, if you had to, you could put this same thing around Doris's car.
You want to give us Doris's number? Richard, I don't know if we've helped you at all, but it's been a hell of a lot of fun talking to you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Build a pen and call Doris and apologize. See you later.
Bye-bye.
I keep thinking about the Don Rickles bit where he's a French general, and he's going around kissing on the two cheeks, and he turns around and he says, "I gotta get a broad."
well, it's happened again. You've squandered an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy Bourbon. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the Greater Natchez Chili Dog Derby, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman.
Hey!
Who is not related to
our
tailor.
He hasn't been around for ages.
Euripides Imenides.
Euripides.
Or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I break your face. Or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine, not yours. Our staff archivist is Bernadette File. Our staff chaperone is Teresa Crowd. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aurovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our retro chauffeur is Peek Off and Drop Off. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the multilingual barflies in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though public radio station managers put on Groucho glasses and sneak down the fire escape whenever we say it, this is NPR.